On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette drops by to recap football state finals before looking ahead to local basketball. I'll close with notes on Hoosier football, the Comets, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's recap football state finals, which took place over the weekend. Bishop Dwenger took home some hardware after beating Roncalli.
Yes, so some of you might remember when these two teams met week one of the regular season. Roncalli won 3-0. It did not go at all that way this time. Bishop Dwenger wins this one 36-29. Tons of lead changes, ties, everything you can think of. I personally went into this game having a feeling that if it was close, I thought it might come down to Bishop Dwenger's Lucas Wynn. He's a senior kicker. He has hit 4 field goals from 50 yards or further, including a 54-yarder that is the SAC record. He did have a made field goal in this one, but what was really pretty surprising is in the fourth quarter, with the game tied 29-29, Bishop Dwenger lines up for, I think, what would have been about a 54-yard field goal that would have been an IHSAA state finals record. But instead, they snap the ball to Lucas. He takes off, goes like he is going for the fourth down, and then he passes it to AJ Shefferly. Shefferly breaks out of 2, 3, 4 tackles, runs for a 37-yard touchdown. Lucas then kicks the extra point. That is 36-29 Bishop Dwenger with 9 minutes and change left to play. That ends up being the final score of the game. And then because it's Bishop Dwenger, they do finally seal that victory with an interception in the end zone. The pass is broken up by George Hackman. Ball's loose in the air. Carter Zent catches it. Falls to the ground as a champion. So defense does, in the end, save the day on the last second for Bishop Dwenger.
Bishop Lures was our other local school in Indianapolis last weekend, and things didn't go quite as well for them.
No, there was a point in that first quarter when Cascade scored its third touchdown to go up 19-0 that it really seemed like it was going to be a really, really, really long day for the Knights. Things were not looking well at all. Bishop Lures did get into the game. They scored their first touchdown in the second quarter. That was on a 75-yard, 11-play drive. It started to get into it. At one point in the third quarter, they narrowed the lead down to 8 points. It's a one-score game. Things are looking kind of possible. But in the end, can't get any closer. Cascade wins this one 29-14, ends up being by 2 possessions. That is the first state title in any boys sport for Cascade.
You've been previewing boys basketball the last couple of days. What are some things that you've taken away?
Yeah, I think one thing that you'll really notice if you're kind of looking over the rosters for the SAC teams is how many new faces there are going to be this year. Because of the, I believe it was 13 players on the all SAC first team last year, if I remember correctly, I think it's 11 of them have since moved on. I was talking with the Homestead coach, and he kind of made an aside, like, you know, a lot of people are picking them to win the SAC this year. I'll say in my preview, I did that as well. And he kind of said, it's kind of crazy how many people are picking us to do that when we lost, I believe it was 6 players to graduation. But the thing is, that's happening to a lot of teams in the SAC this year. So Homestead lost 6 seniors. Wayne, which has won the last 3 SAC titles, they lost a bunch of seniors, including 4 who were first team all SAC last year. And this was a class that had really grown and taken Wayne from kind of the basement of the SAC all the way to the semi-state finals 2 years ago. So they will be sorely missed. And we're going to see a whole new group of kids, a couple who played varsity in spots last year for the Generals, but it's going to be new. Homestead is helped by the fact that they do have 2 juniors who are in their 3rd years as major varsity contributors in Mac Welker and Jake Coleman. So they do have a little bit of a leg up in that. They do have some experience helping them out. The one team that's a little bit the exception to the rule is Snyder. They've been sort of the young guns for the past couple years. Now they're finally getting into the point where a lot of those players are juniors and seniors. So now it's kind of Snyder's turn to be the experienced guys. And then we have some other teams who lost a ton of production, like Bishop Lors with the Truesdale brothers and Danny Kelly. They have gotten some new guys in, whether it's younger kids who are coming in, or they also have Jonas Muya, who was at La Lumiere last year. So it's going to be a lot of new people. We're hopefully going to see maybe a little bit of a shakeup after 3 years of really Homestead versus Wayne.
And on the girls' side, the latest IBCA poll is out. Things are looking pretty good for Norwell right now.
So Norwell has moved up to number 2 in the IBCA poll. That is a all classes poll. So that includes all 3A, 4A teams, 1A, 2A. Norwell, if you remember, is a 3A school by enrollment, but got bumped up after winning the state finals last year. So they are a 4A team. They are really on a roll and I think have gotten a lot of attention since beating Homestead on their home court a couple weeks ago. Homestead is still there at the top of the polls, and Warsaw is also in that top 10. So we do have a lot of representation among some of the top girls teams in the state.
Victoria Jacobson is covering the whole range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thanks as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Indiana Hoosiers will be playing one of its biggest games in school history this weekend. After wrapping up a perfect regular season last week with a 56-3 win at Purdue, number 2 IU will face the top-ranked Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game Saturday night. Head coach Kurt Cignetti says they're treating it as a one-game season.
It's the next opponent. If we get done what we want to get done, you know, we won't play again for 30 days. And there'll be plenty of time to recover from our bumps and bruises.
IU and Ohio State each finished the regular season a perfect 12-0. They're the only two undefeated teams in the nation and have been ranked 1-2 since the middle of October. Quarterback Fernando Mendoza says the Hoosiers know what's in front of them.
Coaches, support staff, players, we've all worked our entire lives to get to this point. So at this point, it's not like complacency, like, oh yeah, we're 12-0, great. Like, we got to keep on going harder and we got to train harder because this is such a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we have ahead of us.
Last year, Indiana was undefeated when it traveled to Ohio State for a late-season matchup. The Buckeyes dominated, 38-15, but Cignetti says IU learned a lot from that game.
While that was not an enjoyable experience, it was an experience that was necessary for our growth and development to go into a hostile environment like Ohio State and play a team of that quality.
Regardless of the outcome of Saturday's game, IU is expected to get a bye in the college football playoffs. Cignetti is not taking that for granted.
I don't expect any handouts. We've earned everything up to this point, and we've got to earn it on Saturday.
Saturday night's game kicks off at 8 on Fox. Notre Dame will enter the college football playoff season ranked number 10, which has them on the bubble for a spot in the tournament. Given their strong finish to the season and the fact that they don't have to play a conference tournament game this weekend, the odds appear to be in their favor to make the cut, but we'll probably have a better idea of that next week. The Irish finished the season with a dominant 49-20 win over Stanford out west, giving them a 10-2 record on the year. All 10 wins have come after losing their first two games. That's a good way to make people forget about those losses. In the NFL, it brings me no joy to report that the Colts look like they're starting to fall back to earth, now having lost their last two games. It doesn't get much easier for them this week as they take on a strong Jacksonville squad that has bounced back from a couple of rough seasons to an 8-4 mark this year, same as the Colts. They'll be in Florida for that one. Kickoff is at 1. The Fort Wayne Comets have continued to roll over the last week with 2 overtime wins, 1 regulation win, and a loss. That brings them to 13-4-1-0 on the year for 27 points, good enough for a 3-game lead in the Central Division. It's comfortable for now, but still far too early to rest on their laurels. They have a fairly generous schedule ahead of them this weekend. They're practicing until Saturday, where they'll face off on the road against Toledo at 7. Then they're right back home Sunday night to square off against Cincinnati at 5. And while no NBA team ever wants to see a record of 4-17 next to their name, the Pacers did have a better week, winning 2 in a row over the holiday weekend. They crushed the Wizards 119-86 on Friday, continuing Washington's winless streak in the in-season tournament. They've never won one of these games, it's wild. Then they were propelled over the Bulls Saturday on a game-winning shot from Pascal Siakam. It's hard to see the Pacers making any kind of meaningful push the way this season has gone so far, so you take the good when you can. And last week was all right. They'll bounce around the next few days facing the Bulls in Chicago on Friday, before returning home to host the Kings Monday. Then they'll get a few days off before making their way to Philly to take on the 76ers next Thursday. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.